I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Jake Stefanani, Tony Cashin, and Quistas Handarach. Coming up on TMS, wasps are bastards.
My baloney has a first name. It's L-E-B-A-Non.
Neither tea nor tree.
Raining Man.
So many YouTube pies.
Sometimes it's worth farting.
Extra rough roughing it.
Evil fake koalas.
Your confirmation is biased.
It's good when Vegas gets a rinse.
Be adjacent.
That furniture smell.
Drop Bears. The Aussie Chupacabra.
10-hour yodel loop.
Kirby, your enthusiasm with Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Compared to a typical telephone line, the ISDN's throughput is staggering. 64 kilobits per second. At least 10 times faster than a conventional phone network.
Edible prop dirt.
The Morning Stream. He's taking a dump in a can.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Tuesday, September 5th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and that's Brian Ibbett.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello, hello.
We were just talking pre-show. If you're a patron, you'll hear it. But we were talking about all this stuff going on in Nevada, the, you know, the mess in Vegas where they got all this rain and horrible flooding and everything. And then the Burning Man deal. And so I guess I just wanted to say at the top of the show, if any of you are listening, I heard from a couple yesterday, but any listeners who went to Burning Man or are there now or will hear this when they get home, or maybe they'll hear it there. I guess internet's fine, or 5G has been fine where they are. Mm-hmm. If you hear this episode and you have, like, you want us to tell a little story about this, you know, everything going south.
You
want the way
to be our reporter, our man in the field, or man or woman in the field.
Yeah. I want to know how your acidic mud is. I want to know about, that Ebola thing was fake. Someone made that up. Nobody, yeah, there's no Ebola there. What was the other thing I heard that was total bull crap? I can't remember. But the writer...
People were naked running around. Oh, wait, no, that was true.
Friend of the network, Hugh Howie, writer of the Silo series, literally got married at this year's thing right before the rain hit.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I hope he's okay. He seems to be. He's been tweeting and stuff. I think he's all right.
Good.
Here's my guess, Brian. I'm going to guess this. People love dramatic stories. And here's what will probably be the truth. People will come back and go, oh, wasn't that bad? Because it's Burning Man. They're already used to, like, being
weird. It's true. It is. It's like, it's set up to be roughing it. And just adding a little bit of extra, adding an extra layer of roughing it to an already roughing it situation.
Yeah.
Diplo and Chris Rock were out there, too. I saw the video of them on their little, the truck that was hauling them out. By the way, Diplo hates you.
Diplo hates everybody. Hold on a second. Did Chris Rock perform or something? Was that why he was there? Was he just there?
I don't know if he was performing or he just went.
Huh. Trying to get slapped again? Just trying to get that done? Well, that's interesting. Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that. I knew there was some celebrity and
damn Burning Man out your damn mouth.
I know there are a lot of, like, influencer types that were trapped there. Yeah. So I don't feel bad for them at all. That's fine. Let them be trapped.
quite the fire festival replacement situation.
A little bit. It sounds like it's more, you know, unforeseeables and less of a bad management, but because this has been going on for years, right? I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, I had friends. Let's see. I hired a guy named Scott Brenner. Oh, should I just? I just doxed him.
Scott Brenner.
In 96.
Well, we're going.
He was all proud, like when he. God, what year was it? He showed me his really cool mug that he got from Amazon.com because he bought a couple books there and they gave him a free mug.
Whoa.
That was before Amazon sold anything but books.
Yeah.
That tells you something. But he would go to Burning Man and he'd send me video of like where he had a Land Rover. And it was like this big way open, big open field that he was on. He was able to put the car in cruise control, and then he and Tim and a couple other people that worked with me would climb out on the hood of the car and just ride on the hood while the car would drive through the desert.
Wow.
With nobody behind the wheel, nobody in the car.
Jeez. Well, when you got wide open desert, I guess you'd...
You might as well. It's like, God, that just still scares the shit out of me thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't like the feeling of it at all.
He's definitely not there anymore. He's a judge. He can't do those things anymore.
Oh, yeah, the judge. No, forget it now. If you're on the
he's
bench,
a Your Honor. He can't be a goofball, a little Burning Man goofball.
No, I don't care how fast you need to get to Gastown. You're not getting on the hood of my car.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah, so we just like to hear from you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all right, everybody. Don't worry,
yeah,
I'm
I would
okay.
love to hear from James. Because if James went, that would be amazing to get a call from him on this.
It'd be great if we could get the call in.
Dude, if you end up talking to them and he says he's willing, let's do it.
He'd totally be up for it. And the problem is that is getting up that at 8 o'clock to be able to call into our show.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we hope rock and rollers. They don't get up early. Come on.
We hope you're all okay. All right. It's still better than the Fire Festival. That was just a shit show. But this thing at least is, you know, nature just didn't like you this year. That's all. Wasps are bastards. You probably knew this.
I knew this. I hate wasps.
Yeah, they're kind of dicks. Here's the thing, though. And I don't mean the band from the 80s, the hair band. Okay, everybody, calm down. You can enjoy your CDs and not have me rip on them. I'm talking about the, not bugs, I guess. Well, I guess they're bugs.
Yeah, they're insects. Sure.
They're just insects.
Six legs, two body parts. Yep.
Are stinger...
Three body parts.
Bugs that are stinger-based, bee-like, are they in a certain... Do they have a certain name of their own?
They're a bee-like.
Are they bee-adjacent? I don't know. They don't have a name, do they? That's outside
Lepidoptera,
of insects.
Is it Lepidoptera? I can't remember what the bee classification is.
Well, you're like
that might be butterflies.
You're like full on entomologist here on the show. I like this.
Oh sure. Yeah. Well, and I was able to name one classification, and it might be butterflies and not bees. I don't know.
So don't take your word for it. Is what you're saying? All right. That's
fine. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, so dumb. Yesterday. That we had the kids over, we had taco bar night. Kim does this thing where she makes a big bar full of taco things and whatever. So all the kids came, and Carter's friend and some other, anyway, we had extra people and it was fine. We had a great time. Little kids are there. Van and Phoebe are there. And she's 10 months old and can say pops now. Pretty great.
Oh,
anyway,
nice.
Yeah. She looks at me and goes,
that's
pops.
So cute.
And she whispers it. She goes, pops, pops. Like
that. Awesome.
It's pretty cute. Anyway, they're all over. We're having a great time. Night goes as planned. I spent most of it at the table talking to Dylan about how cool Starfield is and him getting ready to play it today because today's Game Pass day. So.
Oh, today is release day. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because cool. Early access has been out for a week if you paid the extra money or whatever. And anyway, so we're having a great time. And then it was time for them to go, getting close to the kids' bedtime. So Taylor and Dylan gather up their stuff, gather up the kids, and they go outside. And Kim's like, I'm going to walk Van to the car. I said, that sounds nice. So she walks him, holding his hand, walks him to the car. A wasp comes, tries to land on his little arm. Yeah. She kind of waves at it or moves her arm to get it away. It immediately goes to her arm and stings her immediately.
Oh, bad form.
Bad That's form.
Oh, poor thing. Was she all freaked out?
No, she's all right. She's got... I mean, Kim's, I think she's only gotten stung once before, so we knew she wasn't allergic, but she has, she bubbles up. She just bubbles up real good. Like it gets real thick. Yeah. So what we did is we decided to try this thing. Someone told us that if you put tea tree oil on a bee sting or a wasp sting that it will, you'll wake up with like hardly any inflammation. It'll like take the pain away. Like it's supposed to be kind of miracle cure. And I'm like, I'm usually very skeptical of such claims. And I'm like, well, okay, sure. Put a little tea tree on there. Let's see if we can save the world and put tea tree. You know, I was being super skeptical about it. Sure. She did it and it worked freaking this morning. Really? The thing is barely there. You barely know she even got stung. And it, compared to last time, which was also another bee or a hornet or something, it's just nothing this time.
Wow.
So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know why I was so skeptical. Well, I'm always skeptical.
Snake oil, Scott. All right, I'll take you up on it.
So. I don't even know what tea tree oil. Is it a tree? A tea tree?
Is it a tea? Is it a tree? Who knows?
No one tells me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to call it, but I'm going to try it next time I have any kind of like bite or wound, you know? It's supposed to be good for your feet if you get like a crusty heel, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you it is like kind of like the miracle oil right now, right? It's like, well, not right now because obviously it's been around for a while.
Yeah. But it seems to be fixed on a lot of stuff. And if it does, I mean, I'll try it. I have a crappy heel. I'll give it a shot. But you smell like furniture when you wear it, when you put it on. It smells like, it's like, you know, when really you deep treat wood to make it.
Yeah. You smell like Mark Spagnuolo is what you're saying.
A little bit. Yeah. Like his beard probably smells when you get all up close to him. You know, we'll have to ask Nicole on Wednesday how he smells.
Yeah, I'm curious. All right. So it's a volatile essential oil. It says volatile. Derived mainly from the Australian native plant Melaleuca alternifolia.
Okay.
Employed largely for its antimicrobial properties, TTO is incorporated as the active ingredient in many topical formulations used to treat cutaneous infections. Mm. It is widely available over the counter in Australia, Europe, North America, blah, blah, blah. So really just comes from a plant. It's neither a tea nor a tree. It's an Australian plant.
It's not a plant.
That's not a plant.
What are these?
They're plants.
Rub this on you.
Their plants eat dingoes. They got like big old mouths and stuff.
It's one of the 10 deadliest plants in the world, and it's all in Australia.
Would not be surprised. Exactly. But anyway, I guess I'm saying just with slight real life evidence, if you want to call it that, it worked really well. So I'm just going to put it out there. I don't have any expertise in this area. I'm Joe Skeptic on everything. So when something comes up, I usually go, right, whatever, let's see this. And this stuff freaking worked, so I don't know. Maybe Pledge would have worked. I don't know. It sure smelled the same.
Chris says fairly big trees with spongy bark. Okay, so it is a tree. All right.
So big old tree in Australia. Is Lucky Phil in here? Is that who said that? Tree.
You know, Australians call plants trees. So that's
right. What do they call grass? They probably call it the woods. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Forests.
Forests. Well, that's cool. Our Lucky Phil says, our drop bears love it. What's a drop bear? Never heard of a drop bear.
No, I haven't heard of a drop bear.
Never heard of a drop bear. It's a new one. Look up a drop bear. What do we got? What is it?
It's a urban legend focuses on bushwalkers having been known to be dropped on by drop bears, resulting in injury, including mainly lacerations and occasionally bites. So drop bears are fake.
Oh, they're based on koalas, but they're evil and they're fake.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yes, some of these pictures are
large,
great, though.
Arboreal predatory marsupial related to the koala that drops on its prey.
These pictures are so stupid. If you do an image search, they're amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all got like fake photoshopped fangs and big old claws and stuff. This is bullcrap. I've never heard of this.
These look like the worst Pokemon ever is what they look like.
Yeah, you don't evolve your whatever.
So it's the Australian snipe is what it is. Okay.
All right. That's good to know you guys have your own thing over there with that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like to hear.
You guys don't have enough dangerous creatures on your island that you have to come up with extra ones.
Yeah, right? you got spiders as big as my dog.
Yeah,
you know what the crap.
You know what we need some sort of fake killer animal to scare people because we don't have enough.
I love that accent, but there's a part of me that knows why Australians hate that accent. It's like, do you know what I mean? Like I can tell
why
they would cringe, but I think it's great.
Sure.
never not do it. Okay, I found something cool. We've had a lot of deaths lately. Also, people are all out over us, Brian, because we keep mentioning some of these names and then they die.
Well, we're running out of people to name is the problem.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll have no more names. We'll have to start naming each other, and then there's real trouble. But no, we the lead singer for Smash Mouth died this week, and we were just talking about this dude.
Yeah, we were talking about on Film Sack. We weren't talking about Jimmy Buffett.
No. No, although you bring him up, Gary Wright. You bring him up here and there on the show. Jimmy Buffett will come up as like Margaritaville restaurant, Vegas stuff, like that sort of thing. But I don't think that counts. I don't think it counts toward his death.
No, no. And we definitely weren't talking about Gary Wright.
No, definitely didn't bring that up. So,
Dreamweaver.
Oh, that song's
cool. I believe you can get me through the night.
What else do we know from him?
Love is Alive.
Okay. Sing that one.
My heart is on fire. My love's like a wheel that's turning.
Oh, okay.
He only sang in falsetto, apparently, is the...
That's his deal.
That's his deal.
Yeah.
Apparently.
He's got a little...
Those are the only two Gary Wright songs I know. I'm sorry. That's it. But should be a good triple tribute Coverville episode this week.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, this is great because you're talking about... Jimmy Buffett has a bigger catalog, but the other two, pretty
the
limited.
The problem with Jimmy
hits.
Buffett's catalog, and I discovered this when I started trying to put a show together, is that, you know, you look for a song like Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes, right?
Yeah.
The only versions you can find are people who do Mirror Image covers because they're a cover band that plays in Florida at a bar. They're a regular cover band that plays in a bar and just does Jimmy Buffett songs. So there's not like there's a great Todd Snyder cover of Margaritaville. You'll hear that. There's a couple other like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. But for the most part, all the stuff I've been finding is here's Cheeseburger in Paradise by a band that sounds just like Jimmy Buffett.
Mm, not your favorite.
And,
yeah.
No, it's just a bummer because, you know, you want, obviously you want somebody to take make their own rendition. And I put this on Threads yesterday, but I think part of it is that Jimmy Buffett fans don't want to hear something that strays from the thing that they know and love.
Mm.
And other bands that would put their own spin on a Jimmy Buffett song don't like Jimmy Buffett songs, so they don't cover them.
Yeah.
It's the combination of the two.
It's a real dichotomy there.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bummer they all died, I guess.
It is. It is a bummer that they all died.
I mean, in the case of Steve...
Harwell.
Harwell. Yeah. It's a little early. He's only 56.
Yeah. But he was living hard there at the end, man. He was...
yeah. Your liver doesn't... Really... Your liver... Take care of your livers, everyone.
Yeah.
Be moderate with your liver. All right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that to fail. Turns out you die if it does.
turns out.
Yes. Some of these people got real old. So, for example, Bob Barker, 99 without going over 100. And he passed away about a week prior. But I found something that I wanted to play today that I think is a great tribute to Bob Barker. And it was from his retirement. So when he first retired and passed on the torch from Price is Right, he went on Letterman that night. And Letterman did one of his top tens.
Okay.
And Dave had Bob Barker do the top 10, and it was top 10 things Bob Barker could say now that he's retired.
All right? Okay, great.
And I love this. Awesome. So I recorded it and brought it to the show, and I'm going to play it now. So enjoy this. It makes me miss both Bob Barker and David Letterman and his regular show, even though Dave's not dead.
He's still alive, but not, yeah.
He's still with us. He doesn't have a show anymore. Well, he has a show, but it's not the same. Anyway.
It's not The Late Show with David Letterman.
Yeah, right. Here you go. Let me play that right now.
Number 10. We get the prizes cheap because they're stolen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
I was not aware. I
was not aware of that. Number 9.
The actual retail price of the retirement watch CBS gave me
$17.95. Oh. Number 8.
Before we give them away, I personally try out every hot tub.
Oh, Bob, you dog. Number 7.
Slip Daddy some cash, and the showcase showdown wheel lands wherever you want.
What? Slip Daddy some cash.
He's gone nuts, I tell you.
Slip Daddy some cash.
That's right. Number six.
Sleeping until noon and playing golf all day? Come on down.
Yeah. Number five.
Howie Mandel may be a younger game show host, but at least I still have hair.
There you go, Bob. There you go. Number four.
I only wish Regis were alive to see this.
Now, wait a minute.
Before he just died.
Funny
just,
now. Oh, yeah, exactly. Is alive. That's a mistake.
Okay.
I'll double check that when I get upstairs.
For a different reason now.
I think that's a mistake. Number three.
On my last show, I'm going to tell people, go neuter yourselves.
Number two.
I'm not only a game show host, I'm also Spider-Man.
And the number one thing, Bob Barker can now say that he's retiring.
Some older people have the good sense to retire, unlike Letterman.
Hey, I heard you.
Then listen to this version the band does. Isn't that great?
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, I love that. Like, pull out your rendition. Anyway, that made me laugh my ass off, and I was happy to see it.
Who knows if our friend Matt Flanagan was involved in the writing of that top 10 list. We know that he worked behind the scenes.
Would have been the era, I think. It would have been, that would have been like 2010, late 2010 or 2008 or something. So it would have been early aughts, early 2010s, and I think he was there then. So he may have written half of that thing.
Hopefully, I know that both he and Jenny are out on the picket lines. Hopefully, they're doing well also.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were in Burning Man.
Yeah, Burning Man. Hopefully, they're not out striking at Burning Man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
I don't like mud. Anyway, pretty good though, right? He was cool.
That's great.
Bob Barker was a guy who could laugh at himself and have a good time. He's all right.
Totally was, yeah.
And when you and I would stay home sick from school, what were we doing?
We were watching The Price is Right. We were hoping that little mountain climber wasn't going to fall off the edge of that cliff.
Yep.
But we sure enjoyed the music that he sang as he walked up.
Yeah, we sure that or whatever he did. Yep. What did he do? Did he do a song? He did a little song. Yodeler on Price is Right. We got to find this. I want to hear it. Okay. Price is Right. Oh, I can't find it. Yodeler
Cliffhanger is the name of the game if you want to look for
it. Is it called Cliffhanger?
Yeah.
Game.
Icar is like, Brian just did it. Brian nailed it.
Did you nail it?
By the way, that was Cliffhanger as sung by Gary Wright.
Oh, my gosh. All right, then. Okay, here it is. Price is Right, Cliffhanger. Let's hear this. Hold on. Whoops. Oh, it just goes and goes, my God.
Yeah, it's a 10-hour YouTube loop. In case you have someone you really want to get some sensitive information from, you just tie to a chair and play that for 10 hours.
Would not surprise me at all. All right, now we're going to surprise each other with this.
Watch a foodie.
We haven't done this in a while, all right? But thanks to Natalie Taylor, Brian and I got some of that Lebanon bologna we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to make of it because we never had it before. And we're like, well, is it just bologna? And then people wrote in. And she in particular was like, oh, we have this all the time. It's great. And she sent us a box of this stuff. Brian's got cheese.
She lives in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. So,
which is where this hails, right? This is where
did you toast your bun? You didn't, doesn't
I
look
did.
Like you toasted your bun. Oh, you did.
I did.
Okay.
Lightly, not heavily. I was kind of running late. Yeah. But I did put a really dumb little blunt toothpick in mine, like some kind of fancy diner.
It should be a pickle sticking out of the top too.
Oh, a pickle!
And yours
good.
Is just and yours is just the pretzel bun and the meat, right?
Yeah, three of the thin ones. I didn't do the big thick mother that big old bomber. I don't know who's eating that or when, but that's
the smoked. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because that's thick.
Oh,
that's...
so you did one of each of the two different bolognas we got.
Yeah,
I mixed the original.
I mixed them just so I could get a taste here. Okay. So there are three of these on here total. I don't know which one's which, but the pretzel buns, that's an important thing to note. These also came from her, and I guess that's part of the deal. You got to try these with that.
Yep.
She also mentioned Was it her that mentioned mixing them with
cream
eggs and
cheese
stuff?
And horseradish?
Oh yeah, that's the one that sounds so good. I didn't have.
Yeah, I don't have any cream cheese, but I do have horseradish, so I know what I'm doing for lunch is making another one of these sandwiches.
Yeah, why not? So we're gonna try it here on the show. We haven't done it in a while. My first experience with Lebanon bologna. Same with you.
Yeah, same here. Right. Lebanon PA, baby.
Let's go. Here we go. Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Smoky. Right?
Yep. Very smoky.
Very smoky.
Sorry. Big full mouth here.
Yeah.
I didn't take a TV show bite of food.
How much is that, I guess? It's probably just them nibbling.
Yeah. They have a little tiny bit on their fork so that they can...
Oh, this is good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat this with other stuff. I'm going to eat this whole pack. This is all going to go down. Yeah, this is good. Mm. You know what? That's way better
than... No worries at all about how long it sat out on the porch getting
warm. No, it's totally fine how warm it was before we got it. It's fine. We'll know in a few hours if it's fine or not. But
right.
But that is distinctly different than bologna I'm used to. Like,
oh, yeah. No, it's definitely... It's almost more like corned beef.
Right.
Than bologna.
It's got little bits in it and stuff, like little it's got texture.
Whereas and the pretzel bun has a sweetness to it that's really, really nice. I'll do the thing that so I watch this Disney, a couple that goes to Disneyland all the time and talk about all the new food that they eat there called Ordinary Adventures.
Yeah.
And as they're talking about all the food, which they have a scale of 1 to 5, but everything always gets either a 4 or 5.
Of course. Yeah.
Because
they don't want to
talk about
that. I don't
know if it's because they don't want Disney to get mad or what the deal is. But, yeah. but they do this thing with their hand. Like they do this like, oh, well, there's a sweetness that the bun has that really brings out the flavor of the meat. And then a little bit of butter on the bread really adds to it. So go watch some Ordinary Adventures. Notice that they give everything 4 and 5 stars and then watch how they do this with their hands.
They probably took a card from the Guy
from
Fieri
the Food
deck.
Network.
Yeah, because Guy Fieri never on that Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives, never a bad thing to say about any of them. Never.
Oh, this, you know what? This is kind of garbage.
Yeah, this is terrible.
I don't think I'd even feed this to my dog.
Yeah,
wouldn't feed this to the guy who frosted the tips of my hair.
This is literally gangster. Ugh. But here's the thing.
That gangster is Bugsy Malone, who's dead and decomposing. That's what this reminds me of.
And this, now I'm going to edit like they do here. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
boom,
yeah, just cut boom, back and forth. What? Ooh, ha!
Yep, as fast as we can. Anyway, those are awesome. Natalie, thank you so much for that. Thank you for thinking of us, and it was very kind of her to send that to
That's
us.
That's right.
So
and for the record, I love Peter and Kitcher on Ordinary Adventures. Don't, you know, I'm not, I poke fun because that's what we do. We poke fun.
We poke fun. Yeah, if there's fun to poke,
to their damn show, and I love it. So
there you go. It's a YouTube deal, or what? Is that what you said?
It is. Yeah, yeah. Peter, the guy in the couple is a magician, and Mitzula, I think, introduced him at some point to brushwood, because it was like Mitzula is a big fan of Ordinary Adventures and a big fan of brushwood. And so it's like, well, why can't I get my two favorite magicians together? Cause that's the other thing that Peter does, or used to do anyway, was a lot of magic. I don't know if he still does, but
making bank on his, eating in Disneyland money.
Yeah. I mean, they really do. They make bank by going to Disneyland every day and, you know, videotaping. Hi, I'm an old person. By recording their visits and saying, oh, there's a, they've changed part of the flooring in Sleeping Beauty's castle. Oh my God, everybody stop what you're doing, because they've painted part of the floor blue.
Wow.
I don't know what this means.
Wow. I don't know what it means either.
That is what these Disney YouTube channels have to do, is like every bit of minutia.
Uh-huh.
Well, in 6 months, we're going to have a new restaurant, Tiana's Palace, but we're going to give you the play-by-play. Looks like they've added a new 2x4 to the third level.
Yeah. The drinking... Oh, but I'm told... this is just in. I'm told the drinking fountain is not currently usable.
Exactly. The trash can in Tomorrowland, right by Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters, is full. Just a note, please don't use the trash can in front of Astro Blasters.
Yeah, you got some you got trash, keep moving. All right. More at 11. Yeah, I don't know. That's
so
what you do,
Slash,
I guess.
Slash Film, too? Peter was the owner of Slash Film? Holy cow, I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Well, he's got his fingers in all the YouTube pies.
He does. Oh. So many YouTube pies.
Impressed.
And this YouTube pie actually has a really nice pungent kind of flavor to it. It's like a creamy saffron.
Do you think they know they're doing this in the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think they do.
All right. They get you lock into what people recognize you for, and you keep doing it.
I think you do. I think it is a food review staple. I don't know, it's part of the toolbox. If you're a food reviewer, you must do this.
You
as you're
have
talking
to do this.
Something.
Oh yes. Man, I guess I'm not much of a foodie because I never do this.
Exactly. You're not a foodie. What's a foodie? Yeah, you're apparently not a foodie.
I'm trying to remember the last time I would have made this gesture, and I don't think I've ever. I don't think I've. Maybe today. This might have been it.
Maybe that might be it. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Shows the kind of foodie I am.
Trope. That's a good. Yeah, we'll say trope. That's a much better
trope. That's a good word. Yeah, we know trope.
It's part of the food review toolbox.
Yes, and it sounds like this, but only when you're on Film Sack.
That's right. Exactly.
All right, we're gonna do some.
Hey, Scott, can I have a trope?
I like that he always asks. He always asks.
Yes.
For a trope,
right.
Make sure we get the sounder in there. All right, we're going to do some news, and that'll be fun. So let's do it right now.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody in the news this morning. Good morning.
Time for the news brought to you by
Looting Meat from Space Pirates.
Yeah, there's a lot of, if you've ever played a Bethesda game before, you know that you can pick up just about anything. And in Skyrim, the big joke was collecting cheese wheels and hiding those in your house. And just having stacks of cheese wheels for no reason.
Oh, really? Okay.
This game's got a bunch of that, too. You can, you know, collect potatoes and then just fill your ship's cargo with potatoes for no good reason. There's no reason to do it. But it's got all that kind of crap. So I do it with meat. I have a lot of meat. And
cool.
Starfield.
Right. Saving you, hoarding your meat.
Yeah, always hoard your meat. A death at Burning Man has happened. So there's 70-something thousand people there.
Right.
I think
is
they've
it really
had
that many? Holy cow. Yeah, no. Don't
it's
kidding.
A lot. It's
that.
Bigger than your it average is. City. It's bigger than the surrounding cities in Nevada. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
How many people go to that thing? But, and I don't think this is the first year where somebody has passed away. Sometimes you're just playing against the numbers there, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to get sick or somebody's going to,
you know, heart condition.
Have some other issue. Exactly.
But anyway, they're being investigated as rain-soaked festival asked attendees to shelter in place. The death was under investigation at the Burning Man Festival amid the rain and the mud. Local authorities said Saturday, and the attendees were urged to stay there and not go anywhere. Although everything was kind of shut down. They still made little pocket parties, but the main event and like the literal Burning Man, that didn't happen this year. They didn't get to.
Oh, they didn't, because that was supposed to be yesterday, and that they just forewent.
Unless something changed late in the night, they were. Aww. That part got canceled, but I could be wrong. The Pershing County Sheriff's Office in Northern Nevada announced the death, which had happened, quote, during the rain event. I don't know why they call it a rain event. Whatever.
Rain event.
Excuse me. As this death is still under investigation, no further information is available at this time. The party appeared to be over, or all but over, and the organizers said they were focused on getting people out of the area safely. Most festival operators have been halted or significantly delayed, says the sheriff. Let's see. They had to lock down for vehicles coming in on Saturday night. It supported the organizer's shelter in place recommendation for more than 70,000 estimated to be in the desert event. Some vehicles have been able to drive off the playa. What is the playa?
The playa. That's the playa? That's what that whole area is called. The playa.
That's circular, like
yeah.
It looks like a. I mean, it looks like a. Mad Max death camp.
It's a Spanish word meaning big flooded area with a tall man made out of timber in the middle.
Yeah. I like the idea that it's some guy who just likes to cheat on his girlfriends. He's a playa, you know?
He's a real playa. Yeah. Don't hate the playa. Hate the game.
However, these vehicles have caused damage to the playa surface, and it is not recommended at this time, he says. Anyway, they all got stuck there. I don't know what the update is today. They probably have... People are probably finally leaving? I don't know.
Yeah, apparently they did. People are saying that they did actually burn the Burning Man last night.
Well, they did. Oh, that's good then. That's great.
Yeah. Because otherwise they'd have to change the name of the the festival, Swimming Man or Drowning Man or something like that.
Oh, here it is.
It means beach in Spanish, and it is a term for a dried lake bed.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. It says here, Burning Man Exodus, hours long traffic jam stalls festival goers finally able to leave, but they are leaving.
Good.
But they're stuck in a horrible get out of there traffic jam. Ugh.
Yeah, no kidding.
It seems like a nightmare. I just couldn't do it. Like I've always been
interested in going. Yeah. I would go if I could be flown in that morning and flown out that night. I don't want to spend the night there, but I would like to go and see the festivities for a whole day, but not have to sleep there.
Yeah, I don't want to stay overnight either. That's my whole thing. If I could fly in and fly out, that'd be great, but I don't even think that's really an option. I mean, how far
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, helicopter in or something. But I mean, even if somebody drove me in and drove me back out, well, how close is the nearest town?
It's not Sparks. What's the one up there? Nearest town to Burning.
We're racing. We're Google racing.
Google here. Race. Well, Dr.
Empire race. And Gerlach.
Gerlach.
How far is Gerlach?
And does Gerlach have any kind of accommodations of any sort? You know what I mean?
Oh, like 15 miles? That's it? Oh, well, all right.
Well, that's not bad.
That's not bad. So I wouldn't have to sleep there. I could fly in, go for the day, and then come back next year.
Or fly in, go for the day, and then sleep in Gerlach, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Are there hotels in Gerlach?
I assume there's got to be something in Gerlach.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
I mean, this thing from the air is wild. Have you seen these aerial shots of how this thing looks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Look at that. 100
miles to Reno. 100 miles north of Reno. Okay.
That's still not far enough from Reno.
I could do an hour and a half to Reno.
Yeah, why not?
And then sleep in Reno.
Yeah, Reno's... It's the biggest little city in America, right?
That's right. Here's the problem is that, you know, we're already going to do our TMS live at Dragon Con next year. Oh, I'm pretending like this is the thing.
Is this locked in? Is that already a thing?
No, gosh, no. This is just me pretending that I've even had any conversations. The people who would be involved with that are now sleeping, getting the rest that they so richly deserve from this last weekend.
Yeah.
But we can't do both Burning Man and Dragon Con because it's the same weekend, my friend, with one or the other.
That's true. Also, why is it when I look at promotional video or photos for Burning Man, it's only really hot people?
You mean attractive people or just mean like really hot people out in the desert?
Like attractive, you know, beautiful, attractive young people.
Listen, the photos that Judge Your Honor Scott would bring back from these things, it was, you know, there were a lot of people who were like, wow, okay, there's very attractive people all running around here for the most part naked. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity.
Nudity.
Yep. Yeah. And mud now. And that mud looked bad. All right, moving on to this story. Turns out coffee offers performance boosts for concrete.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I was I'd ordered some. Cancel that order. I was in the middle of making it for more coffee.
Yeah, okay. It's not for your brain. It's for your...
For concrete.
Your driveway, I guess. I don't know.
Are you talking about one of those ice cream treats that you can get at Freddy's? Is that what you mean by the concrete?
I miss a good concrete, dude.
Man, of course. Who doesn't?
I can't eat those anymore, but
can't
I love
do
them.
Those.
Yeah. Chocolate concrete, like the real. Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
you know what?
I can't do just because of the lactose deal. It'll be like, position me on a toilet for the next several hours.
Yeah, for me it's sugar. I don't know if they make a sugar free version. They probably don't, but like it would probably mess with the consistency of the stuff. I've never had sugar free ice cream. Any form of it I've ever had is a nightmare. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's icy, crystally. Yeah,
it's garbage. So no is the answer. Anyway, coffee is apparently a big deal. Engineers in Australia. Ooh, we were just talking about you people and your weird plants.
Australians.
They found a way of making stronger concrete with roasted used coffee grounds. To give the drink additive a, quote, double shot at life and reduce waste going into landfills. Lead author, Dr. Rajiv Roy Chad Chand, I believe.
Rajiv Roy Chand.
There you go. From RMIT, the university, said the team developed a technique to make concrete 30% stronger. Wow, that's almost the same price hike as PlayStation Plus just received. Still annoying.
Did it really? I didn't see that. Damn it.
33% price hike.
Wow. Wow.
Kind of across the board. It's ridiculous. If you're paying $59.99 a year, you'll now pay $99.99 a year for the basic one, not even the good middle one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, really? I like the good middle one. I don't think I'm currently paying, but I like the good middle one.
The middle one's pretty strong, but that changed. I was like, okay, I'm not doing this. It's too much.
Nope.
Anyway, it turns waste coffee grounds into biochar. That's a cool name. Biochar. Mm.
Biochar.
Now, if you catch one of those, you can evolve it into a, what is a biochar?
Biochar evolves into a biochem.
Oh, biochem.
Biochem, yeah.
That sounds like that's exactly what it would be if this was real. Anyway, let's see. It's a low energy process. Let's see. The disposal of organic waste poses an environmental challenge as it emits large amounts of greenhouse gases, including methane and carbon dioxide, which contributes to climate change, he says. Australia generates 75 million kilograms of ground coffee waste every year. Damn. Y'all are drinking coffee. Woo!
It's funny, though. You would feel like the coffee would make it less strong, right? Like, because, all right, here's a powder that doesn't adhere to itself.
Right, right.
How is it going to make the concrete around it stronger?
Yeah, and they claim that this mixed with traditional concrete is acting like a binding agent and strengthening it. I wonder, though, do you think you ever be walking down on a hot Australian day in Sydney? You're going to the opera house. I don't know what you do. Whatever you're doing.
Sure, that's what you do in Sydney, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're walking around and you go, what's that? Oh, it's the sidewalk. It smells like coffee out here, you know? I wonder. I'm just saying.
I feel like there has to be, right? It has to be a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Sure.
That's how these things work. When people use used vegetable oil from like fryers to run their cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been behind one of those, but it smells like a freaking, you know...
There's a little bit of a stink.
Yeah.
A little bit of a stink to it.
It's like like nuggets and fries, but worse somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gross. But I respect it, but it's kind of. Oh, anyway, there's that story. So just, hey, Wade, well done, everyone in Australia. You guys are great.
Yes.
Here's a story. A gun fired at a White Sox game, which made a bunch of news at the time. Mm-hmm. Turns out that gun was snuck in by a woman in her belly fat.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well. Just stick it in there and let her rip.
And just roll it over.
Roll on in. Open that up, you know, like a big old floppy cave and go, here's your thing. An investigation into the shooting on Friday night. This is, last two Fridays now, in which two women were struck by gunfire during the White Sox Athletics game at the Guaranteed Rate Field.
So, some of these names, come on, your corporate names are getting a little ridiculous. The Guaranteed Rate Field.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost as bad. Our jazz arena for the longest time back in the day was called the Delta Center because it was Delta Airlines who had the name. And then it went away and it went to Vivint Home Security Arena. And then we all lamented that every minute of the day until they went away. Now it's Delta again and we couldn't be happier.
That's good. We have Empower Field and... You could ask a dozen people walking the streets of Denver right now, oh, what does Empower do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They don't know.
I don't know what Empower does. Yeah.
Do you know it all? Do you know what they do?
I don't know. No, you could ask me. I could be one of those people you ask. I don't know what Empower Field is.
That's got to be.
Or Empower, the company is. But we still call that stadium Mile High Stadium. It's always going to be Mile High Stadium.
That's
always going to be Lambeau Field. It's always going to be Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, if you're going to give us a name, you stick to your freaking name.
Yeah.
I just realized, though, this is the problem when we have troublesome names like Redskins. People want to stick with the thing they've always known, and that's part of it. It isn't so much that they're racist turds. It's that they also like tradition, and they want to keep the thing it was originally called. So if Delta had some negative connotation, how would I feel? I would probably be like, oh, I'd probably say change it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm progressive enough to change it. Who gives a shit? Well, anyway, this thing was snuck in there under her gut belly. people said during the investigation. ESPN reporter Peggy Kuzniski or something like that said one of the women who was grazed by a bullet in the incident snuck the gun in past metal detectors, hiding it in the folds of her belly fat. Now, hold on a minute.
Okay.
Can those detectors not detect through a layer of fatty
it's
tissue?
It's tougher, and that's why, like they say, when you go through the security, like they've said, like, all right, you've got a metal belt buckle, put your hand over your belt buckle. If you've got an Apple Watch, put your hand over your Apple Watch as you go through, and then you'll have to take those things off.
I didn't know that interfered with that. I figured it would just get through it all.
No, it's still detected, but it comes in, it registers it lower or something. I don't know the reason behind it, but
is that why people put stuff up their hooter and they can get through to security that way, up their butt?
I guess so. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
That's how Denzel Washington got that hairy guy through security in Man on Fire.
That's right. Where's your C4? I don't know. Don't know where it is.
No, I don't think I don't have any.
No, everything's
all
good.
All right.
Okay, we'll let this one go. That's fine. Final story.
Yep.
This is, and the women who got shot are all going to be okay. They were just grazed.
Oh, good. Yeah,
this wasn't I don't know why you're taking a gun to a damn game, but.
Some very sweaty bullets.
Yep.
That saved them.
People are sweating bullets, literally, in this case. We got a story that was posted on our Discord by Binary Hermit.
Oh, good.
It's just ones and zeros, that hermit. I don't know. anyway, I want to thank him for that. And here's the headline. A suspected drunken driver accidentally called 911 on himself. They're always drunk when this happens. This driver accidentally called Nebraska law enforcement on himself, leading to his own arrest. The man called 911 to report another driver who he thought was driving on the wrong side of the highway. According to the Facebook post by the sheriff's office on Thursday released a video of the March incident along with the audio of the driver's 911 call. When authorities arrived, it became clear that the caller himself was the one driving on the wrong side of the road and was intoxicated. Here's what he said, quote, "Whoops. I'm on Highway 77 going north and there is somebody that is on the wrong side of the road," he said in the call. He added that on the other driver almost ran me off the road. That was gnarly, he said. Gnarly. Yeah.
Dude, I'm so wasted right now.
That was gnarly.
That was my head.
That was like a lot, he is quoted as saying.
No dice.
The video then shows an unidentified driver being pulled over by a police officer. "Do you know why I stopped you?" asked the officer. "Yeah, because I was on the wrong side of the road," admits the driver.
It's impossible not to think of John Candy and Steve Martin and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, right?
Yeah, well, dude.
How does he know which way we're going? Yeah. Or how does he know where we're going?
It's so funny to me. It's great.
You're going the wrong way. Well, how does he know? How does he know where we're going?
Yeah, how does he freaking know? All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Amy Robinson, a.k.a. Red Fraggle 3, will be here. It's time for Read This with Amy. Okay?
Yeah, but I want to hear about Dragon Con.
I think you'll also hear about that. We got some. In fact, she sent some photos here. What do we got? Dragon Con photos. Oh, very nice.
Oh, cool.
So we'll take a look at these, too. All that will be after this break with a song. And Brian brought said song. What do you got?
Yeah, I've got a brand new EP from a band called Cavo, C-A-V-O. Brand new EP is called The Shakes. Came out September 1st, so Friday. When he was asked about the EP, Andy Heron, vocalist, said, "A lot of these songs for The Shakes EP had been sitting unfinished for a few years. We were like writing like crazy back then, and it's amazing finally getting these songs finished and giving them a proper release. Kind of feels like the story of the certain time period of Cavo has finally been told." Well, cool. Here is the first single from this EP. It's called Feels the Same. The band is Cavo.
Find me when it's over. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What do you mean I returned my last video late? That was the day that ice storm came through. I couldn't even get out my driveway.
The poop bird!
And we've returned. Who was that one more time?
Sure. That's the band Kavo and a song called Feels the Same. You'll find it on their brand new EP, which is called The Shakes.
The Shakes. I've had those.
Oh, before. Yeah. Who hasn't?
I mean,
who hasn't, Scott?
How can you live a life and not say you've had the shakes? Everyone's had them.
No, everyone's had the shakes.
I haven't had a good shake, though, in a long time.
Oh, stop it now, you.
I know. Look, sometimes it's worth farting and...
It is
spiking your blood sugar.
Just the very tail end of peach season, so go out and get a good yummy peach shake.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Except don't support that horrible company that
Don't do that. Go get one from Arby's, they're fine.
Hey, Arby's, good Jamocha shake. Yeah, done.
Not bad. All right, let's do this little number right here. Where is it? It's right here.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
Well, in what feels like a million years, we finally have Amy back with us here for a Read This with Amy. And she's, boy, you've been up to a lot since we last spoke. How the heck are you?
Oh, yes. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
I don't know about y'all. I am tired.
I'll bet you are, yeah.
I have been up to quite a bit because I sent my oldest off to college. Mm. And then the weekend after that was the Tadpole meetup. And then this past weekend was Dragon Con.
It's a lot.
Yeah, so... I have told everyone I know, I'm like, don't ask me to do anything on a weekend for like the next month. I will say no.
Yeah.
So. You got to do that. You need to, you know, these are all fun things that you've been up to, but they can take a toll. You know, you need time to yourself.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was all really fun. We had a great time up in Asheville. We played a bunch of board games. Mm-hmm. We went on that, you know, Brian told you about the crazy bus tour we went on.
It was so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian was able to give you most of the highlights, but yeah, I'll just second that. It was a really, really good time. I think we're definitely going to keep doing that. We're going to move the dates around a little bit, I think, because
maybe just give you a little bit more of a breather between that and Dragon Con by chance.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Just a little bit of space.
You and Chuck were fantastic hosts and drivers and tooling us around everywhere. We really, really appreciate it.
Oh, did you end up riding with him? Did you and Chuck ride?
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you. Or did you say?
Oh, we didn't take the bikes. No, and a good thing, because we really wouldn't have had much time to ride. Okay. And the hills just outside of our Airbnb would have been a monster.
Mm. Yeah, we were nervous about like cars driving up some of those hills, like, you know, little four cylinders. We were a little scared they wouldn't make it up there. So yeah, I can only, you guys would have been walking the bikes.
Definitely, maybe not Chuck and his studly legs, but certainly me.
Well, he's very manly, that Chuck.
He is a
manly version of Chuck. Well, anyway, that's great. How was Dragon Con? I'm looking at some of these photos, and I see ran into Brittany and Bill and all them.
I did.
Are you sure it was Bill and not his twin brother?
Yeah, because he was there too.
I ran into both, so I was able to confirm. Yeah. That it was. I definitely saw Bill because his brother was there. I can't remember, dressed as Oh, I can't remember, but he had a helmet.
Yes.
He took his helmet off.
Yeah, they were both the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle the security guards for the bad guy, whatever he was talking about with the name tags and everything. He's been explaining on the show how he was going to do it, and it's still confusing to me, but I think
his brother was wearing, he had a helmet on, he took off his helmet, and I was like, whoa, that's okay, right, you have a twin.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the picture you're showing right now, Scott, we took that specially for you. There was, you know, there's always these people dressed up in like the inflatable T-Rex costumes and such.
Sure.
And there was somebody there in like an inflatable Kirby, just like raving and bouncing around. It was the funniest. I wish we had taken video, actually.
The thing is gigantic. Really, what a big Kirby. Yeah. You got to watch out for him, though. He'll eat you and then take your powers. That's what he does.
Right. Exactly.
Bad situation.
Yeah.
You have to be very, very careful of that. So,
it was
great. We had a great time. We always hang out at the puppetry track mostly. Some of these are ones that Chuck took. Chuck is a big fan of Blade, so he took that photo. I took that Brack photo for you, Brian.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Full size Brack.
Send me a set of those because Scott's not sharing with me.
I'm looking at the screen.
I thought you had the link. Sorry, I didn't give you these.
No, that's all right. Totally all right.
Click on the one with like the green skirt and the beehive thing. I want to see if you can guess what that costume
the
is.
Green,
it's awesome.
The one. Okay, let's see.
It's like right next to the one with me with Hollow Knight.
It looks like Marge Simpson. So Margio.
Oh, hilarious.
It's not Margio.
Margio?
Right? It's Margio.
Margio.
Fantastic.
Why is the letter so R on there, though?
Yeah, what's
I don't
R?
Know. I didn't get to ask him that.
Margie.
But, like,
Margie,
I just thought that was so funny. I was like, because I saw him, the first time I saw him, like, he was on the bridge.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not allowed to take pictures when you're on the sky bridges because there's just too much traffic going.
It's exactly. It's for walking only. Yeah. No stopping.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there's three Chucks in the bathroom. Tell me about this three Chucks thing. It's like the Spider-Man meme. Are all three named Chuck? Is that the deal?
All three of those guys are named Chuck or Charles. Yes.
I love that.
So they're all actually technically named Charles because Chuck is a nickname for Charles.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yep. So now this is the thing. And we got a three Brian's picture in Asheville. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Who's this really tall dude with the cool hair that you're standing next to?
Oh, yeah. So those are the Cinema Therapy guys. So unfortunately, the photo is a little fuzzy. But yeah, that was like the one kind of sort of famous person thing that I was excited to go do. Was they were, you know, one of my favorite YouTube series is called Cinema Therapy. And they the tall guy is a filmmaker. His name is Alan C. Wright. And the guy next to him is Jonathan Decker, and he is a licensed therapist. And so they watch movies and they kind of, you know, analyze the characters in the movies from a therapy perspective and a filmmaking perspective. And it's a fascinating, I love their web series. It's like one of my favorite things. And so I was very, very excited to both get to see them on a panel and get to meet them briefly. And so, yeah, that was a big fun.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Fun thing for me.
Very
cool. So Chuck
cool.
was like spraying and praying, you know, just taking all the photos for me.
I love
so.
That phrase. But yeah. I know exactly like click, 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 click. Let's hope one of these comes out. Click, 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 click.
Exactly.
You know what's funny is I thought Bill told me he was not bringing his Ghostbuster stuff, but there it is. He brought it.
Funny story.
Yeah.
So like there was like a planned little meetup of folks that are on Bill's Discord. And so he posted, he didn't describe the location. He posted a photo and put like a circle around, you know, oh, this is where we'll be. And I was like, okay, the carpet, that's definitely the Marriott. Okay. And I think that's where we are. And so Chuck and I are standing around, we're kind of looking around and I'm going, okay, I think we're in the right place. But then we realized, like, okay, they're going to be in costume. So maybe. And I said, I think Bill is probably bringing his Ghostbusters stuff. And that just then Chuck looked over and spotted Britt. And he said, well, there's somebody right there with a Ghostbusters outfit that says Duran. Do you think that's it? That
was probably like, it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that would be it. that would be them. So
did you get to, so I always had this question because I know you go all every year. Do you get to just go home at the end of the night, or you stay in those hotels? What do you do?
Okay. So
because you live out there.
You can. Right? I've done it both ways, and it's really not worth it to not get a hotel because there's so many things just going on. Plus, if you have a hotel, it's, you know, it's always Labor Day weekend. And so it's very hot here in Atlanta on Labor Day weekend. Although I will say, my God, the weather was so beautiful this weekend. It was not too hot. I was just grateful just all weekend long, wow. Except like the last day it was a little hotter, but you know, we're packing up our stuff. We don't care. But yeah, it was like not that hot, but if you get, you know, if you get worn out and you need to go back and take a nap, it's great. It's great to have a hotel room. I've done it the other way where I would just, you know, kind of come in and you can't find parking, first of all. Secondly, you know, so you'd have to park at a MARTA station, which, you know, that's our
transit
pitiful
thing.
Little version of rapid transit. It's
light
not
rail
good
for
trains. Yeah. It's very bad. Our rapid transit is bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, you'd have to park at a MARTA station and MARTA back in, and then MARTA stops running after a certain point in the night. So if you want to stay and do anything that's after like, you know, 11:30, you're like running to make sure that you get back to the MARTA station before it closes down at 2. And, you know, I mean, it's just,
it sounds like I would do that. I would not do that either. That's what I was curious about. Cause it was like, I did this once at a BlizzCon, but it was in the form of, not Airbnb, but like a, what the hell are they called? Anyway, timeshare. That's what I'm trying to say. We stayed in a timeshare up the street, and that sucked because parking is a nightmare and walking was too far. So it was just far enough to be too far for walking. It would take forever. And driving was no parking ever. And I was like, this is like living here. We don't want to ever do that again. We got to stay in these hotels right in this little area, or why are we even coming? So, yeah,
we did. I will say we did stay at like one of the non-official Dragon Con hotels, and it was an Aloft hotel. I don't know if you've ever stayed in one of those.
Oh, yeah. I love those. They're quirky.
They're kind of groovy. You know, they have kind of a neat little artsy vibe to them, and they're lovely. They're clean, you know, and it was just like maybe like a block and a half away from the Hyatt, which is one of the official hotels. And it was just far enough away to where, you know, you'd be walking and you'd hear all the din and confusion of Dragon Con. And then you'd walk about half a block and it's like, oh, it's quiet, you know, but it was not too far away to walk. And, it, you know, like I say, it was quiet and we didn't have to play as much of the Hotel Hunger Games that everybody has to do every year, you know.
Yeah. So
I've never been to one of these Alofts. I'm looking at pictures and these look rad. I want to go here.
Oh, they're cool. Yeah.
They're neat and quirky. I like them.
Yeah, they're trippy. All right. Well, very cool. Sounds like a really good time. Did you have any time to read anything while you were doing all this?
I did. I did have time to read. This is a book that my son actually, he had to read it in advance of his freshman year in college now. And he recommended that I read it. So, and I did get to send you a clip. I know I said in my messages that I wasn't going to get to, and I was able to just quickly send you a clip there.
Well, you are awesome. Let me grab it real quick. Make sure we're good on sound. It looks like we are. All right. I'll just play it then. You ready for this? Here we go.
The Edge is a shantytown filled with gold seekers. Summer, 1996. At the Coalfield Public Pool, they would blow a whistle and everybody had to get out of the water. And we'd all stand there, hopping on one foot and then the other because the concrete was so damn hot, burning the bottoms of our feet. And some lifeguard, barely older than I was, 16, looking like the bad guy in a teen movie, blonde and buff and absolutely never going to save you if you were drowning, would wheel out a greased watermelon. There was a 3-inch layer of Vaseline, which made the watermelon shiny, almost like it was turning from a solid into a liquid. And the lifeguard and one of his evil twins, maybe with crazier muscles and a scuzzy mustache, would dump this watermelon into the water and then push it to the middle of the pool. And when they blew their whistles, the point was to jump into the water, and then whoever could get the watermelon to the edge of the pool would win it.
That seems weird. Wrestling, right? Wrestling a greased up watermelon. That's an odd thing to picture in your head.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that clip just sort of sets up, like, this is how boring summer is in this little bitty town where she lives. So, you know. Oh no, that's not me. That is the audiobook narrator who
I was going to say. There, like you sound yeah. It sounded yeah. a lot like you. So
very Amy-esque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Let's see. It was narrated by Jennifer Goodwin.
Mm. Oh, so, yeah, you know her? She was in the show Big Love. She's the youngest of the three sister wives.
Oh, okay, cool.
We've seen her in a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, the name of the book is Now Is Not the Time to Panic by Kevin Wilson. And you know, it's a young adult novel, and I think what I felt like, this is just me reading it as the mom, I think what this book is great for is kind of illustrating that when you are that age, everything is a way bigger deal than long-term it'll end up to be. So yeah, just without giving too much of a spoiler, that's kind of how I felt about this book. The little blurb synopsis there is that, basically these two kind of misfit kids make this artistic poster that has a phrase on it that is a little esoteric. Nobody knows what it means. And they start putting up unsigned versions of the poster all around town. And at first, it's just this kind of cool thing that they're doing. And then eventually, there starts to be a bit of a panic about it. Like, there's some satanic panic going on. Mm. There's, you know, oh, are these people who are putting up these posters, are they kidnappers? You know, everybody's freaking out. And then there's like a posse that walks around with literal guns and, you know, will shoot people that they catch putting up the posters, that kind of thing. And it just becomes a much bigger deal than really it was. It was just, they were just putting up posters. They were just dumb kids putting up a graffiti poster.
This is like that, the listener, and the 3D artist, I forgot his name. Oh my gosh, Scott. Anyway, guy listens to us. The one I always tell the story about, he made a UFO and put it up in the air.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Everyone believed it.
He designed the trophy for Fright Pants All-Stars.
Yeah, that the one guy. Right there behind me. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he the whole thing was that he did it on a lark, and then the whole valley thought it was real. And then HBO conspiracists around the world thought it was real. So he comes out on the news and says, well, it wasn't real. And they're like, whatever, you're part of the deep state that says it's real or isn't real. You're just trying to detract us from the realness of it. And he never really did convince anyone that he made it, even though he has the thing in his garage. This reminds me of this a little bit. It's like,
yeah,
you plant a mm-hmm. thing or you do mm-hmm. a thing, and then people, you know, maybe it's even more weird now because the internet's very good at something going viral and things aren't exactly what you think they're supposed to be. This seems like a good read. I would like to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's why it's set in, you know, the 90s, is because it had to be before there was the internet, because otherwise it became really the huge zeitgeist of this little town in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But if there had been internet, I can't even imagine how humongous it would have. The scale would have been way too big for for a young adult novel, I think. But
I haven't heard of this guy. Again, it's Kevin Wilson.
Kevin Wilson, yeah.
He's done a bunch of books.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was seeing too. And they all have kind of these long titles like this. Like, he's got one that says like something about, like, let's pretend this never happened or something like that. Like, they're all like
great titles. A bit,
they're not like, you know, two word titles. Like, they're big, big, long, entire. Yeah. Phrase titles.
His shortest one is Nothing to See Here. He's got one called, Tunneling to the Center of the Earth. Baby, You're Not Gonna Like It. Like, he's really into like really long titles, I guess. Or no, Baby, You're Gonna Be Mine. Sorry. I misread it. Das Bestie. Oh no, that's German. Never mind. The German type, the German versions of the books are even longer, it turns out, because Germans are weird. Anyway, well, this sounds great. This, of course, is once again, now is the time not to panic. Or sorry, now is not the time to panic. Colon, a novel. I made it longer without even trying very hard.
Now is the time not to panic.
Yeah. Kevin Wilson is the name, and it is available everywhere that I went and searched for it, and it's all over the place. So
yeah.
New York Times bestseller guy, one of these guys. So
cool.
You will not have a hard time finding it. Amy, anything else going on you want to mention or talk about before you take a little bit of a month-long rest from weekend fun?
Yeah. So I have been neglecting my pottery stream because I was prepping for all this ridiculousness that I was doing before. And frankly, the last two Thursdays, I was not here.
Yeah.
I will be resuming pottery streams. I'll do one on Thursday. And again, I'm going to try and maybe throw some more in there more regularly. I'll let you guys know what that schedule looks like when I actually nail it down. But yeah, for now. Oh, I have a question for you, Brian. This is totally
unrelated to anything. I didn't rummage through yours and Chuck's luggage when you guys are sleeping. Okay.
Only while you're awake.
Well, I was,
not while you're sleeping.
was missing a few things, but
definitely didn't take them.
Just kidding. No. So when you got your sleep study for apnea, did they tell you like how many times you woke up overnight?
Yes. And it was, I don't remember the number, but they said it was one of the highest that they'd ever seen.
Jeez.
Yeah. Really? Wow. So the doctor's, I had a doctor's appointment this morning and that it was for that. It was a follow-up for that. And they got back my sleep study, like the one that I did, you know, over 10 years ago. And he said, yeah, the thing that really struck me about your overnight study was that your brain woke up 148 times overnight. And I was like, well, no wonder I'm so damn tired the time.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, do the math. Like, if I'm in bed for 8 or 9 hours, you know, I mean, that's a ridiculous number. That's over 10 times an hour. I'm never getting more than like 6 minutes of sleep.
That's a rough average. So, oof, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the average numbers are. I would love to go back and find my sleep study and just see what number I was at, if they were saying that I was a pretty high one.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated now. And of course I need to go back and they're having me go back and do another sleep study because he thinks I was just completely misdiagnosed with narcolepsy and that it's literally just apnea I've had the whole time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll be excited if that'll be the case because I'm like, what must it be like? What is it like for you normal people who sleep? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I was trying to find an average of what it's supposed to be per night, and I can't find anything. But it's basically the consensus scientifically is that everyone wakes up sometimes in the night, even if they don't remember it. Like, mm-hmm. that's normal. Yeah. But I don't think 140 is good. It's probably bad.
Yeah. No, yeah, but like my neurologist was like, that's really high. I was like, yeah, it sounds awful.
Yeah, doesn't sound great.
So,
all right, Chuck, enough of your kicking her in the night, all right? That's the problem.
Quit waking Amy up.
Yeah, what are you doing over there, Chuck? Anyway. Oh,
poor Chuck. He had to suffer between, like, my daughter came with us to Dragon Con, and, you know, he said, man, you guys were on, like, a schedule. Like, one of you would make a noise, and then the other one would wake up, and then, you know, it was like this cycle all night long. I was, like, between these two, you know, because my daughter's in the other bed, and I was on the other side of Chuck, so he was like, oh, my God. I was, like, between these two women just, like, mumbling in their sleep all night long.
Yeah.
So
you need some rest is what's happening here. Lots of naps.
That is.
Chill out a bunch. Make Chuck do nice things for you. Yeah, you've earned it.
Yeah.
Say, Chuck, after you get back from your bike ride, you make me dinner. Do everything, Chuck. Your job is now to do everything. Well, I mean,
that's pretty much the case already, but I'll tell him you said so.
All right. I hope you enjoy some downtime. Don't forget, check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@redfraggle3. I don't know why I said dot. Forget the dot.
At dot colon slash number sign, symbol for boron.
That's right.
Redfraggle3.
The jury will disregard the dot. Yes. Disregard the dot. Yes. And have a fantastic week, and we'll see you soon.
See you.
Awesome. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Cut her off a little bit. Okay, Brian, we have a follow-up that's very important.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay.
Because I thought, here's the deal. Last week when I thought Juno has always been spelled J-U-N-O.
Yeah.
Like that, like the movie and, you know, other forms of Juno. Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And I thought the city had always been
like
called
the Roman
that.
Equivalent of Jupiter.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that was just normal, and it wasn't until this late time in my life that I was corrected. We had a little fun with that, right? It was like, oh, Scott, what are you doing? Well, I got a ton of people wrote in, emails, some social network or media posts and things saying, I hate to admit this out loud, but Scott, I'm with you. I had no idea until you guys talked about it. I always thought it was Juno. So I thought, well, okay, whatever. But then I wanted to hear from somebody who maybe had a little tighter connection to the name. And, well, I think we found him. So he called in. There's one correction on what he says that I'll make at the end, but let's hear what this caller has to say.
Hey, Scott, it's Ben from Minnesota. I was just listening to TMS 25-14, where you mispronounced Juneau, Alaska. Honestly, the how you mispronounce it is actually correct of how a lot of people mispronounce it.
Okay, real quick. This is the correction. Yeah. He doesn't mean mispronounce. He
means
misspell.
Misspell as opposed to mispronounce.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just for, and he knows that. I think he's just saying it without, it's ironic that he's saying the thing wrong. But anyway, exactly. I just wanted to clear that up. All right, here's the rest. Oops, why don't I want to unpause? That's not good. Here.
My last name is Juno, and everyone pronounces it the way you did and don't realize that it's the capital of Alaska. So don't feel bad. You're par for the course for the rest of America. So, yeah, Juno, J-U-N-E-A-U. Don't worry about it, man. Everyone does it. Love the show, though.
So I feel a little vindicated, just a little. Not entirely, because obviously it's been on maps, it's been in books, like I should know.
It would have been in your entire geography class in school.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You're not wrong. But I you know, what excuse do I have for literally being in Juneau last year and not noticing?
Right, exactly, yes.
But I feel a little better knowing that a whole bunch of people do the same thing. And I think it's probably, when you have the other use case come up here and there, You lock into the easy one. You just go, well, there's the four-letter one.
Right. Juno's four-letter. I'll just do the four-letter Juno. Yeah. Sure.
There's some kind of psychology at play, and I don't know what it is.
Well, and that is what makes it a Mandela effect if a significant portion of the population does the same thing. So if you got emails and messages and social media and tons of people saying that they do the same thing, then that qualifies.
I have some confirming bias, everyone. I'm in.
that confirmation is biased. Yeah, I mean, that bias is confirmation.
That's right. Let's all go to Juno and celebrate. Anyway, that was great. Thank you for that call. And if you want to call in, leave your own corrections, questions, thoughts, comments, you can do that very easily and simply at 801-471-0462. Or you can use that same phone number to send us texts. Those work as well. And if you'd like to email us, themorningstream@gmail.com is the place to do it. It is a brand new month, everybody, and we're excited about a new month. Why? Because it means a chance to bring in more wonderful people into our Patreon. Patreon.com/TMS is the place. And by the way, so we've mostly got, I've heard from almost everybody who was late or had gotten late tea shipments that they finally got them.
Oh, good.
So anybody at those levels got them. Now, if any of you are still straggling and haven't seen that yet, please reach out to me and let me know on Discord, email, wherever. And I'll follow up for you individually and see if we can find out what's going on. I think we've got everyone covered, though. But in case there's somebody still lagging out there, it's not intentional. Sometimes we just, you know, we were behind on our shipments. They're back in stock. And now there's just an issue of making sure all of you get caught up. So anyway, reach out if you haven't, seniors. And if you're like, wait, there's a tea level? Yeah, there's a whole lot more, too. Go on over there right now and check it out. Patreon.com/TMS. You'll get couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, pre-show content every day, no commercials or ads, and other monthly benefits you can only get by joining up today.
For sure. Okay. I want to do some little 3D tchotchke thing for, you and I'll have to talk and figure out like what level gets stuff in the mail that I can add to it, because I don't want to create a whole new shipment just for a certain level. But if there's a shipment that's already getting stuff in the mail, I know there is.
There definitely is.
Then I want to add something to it.
That'd be great. Cool. Let's do it. Yeah, we're all about just sending you guys stuff because we like you. It's not even
exactly.
We're not going to demand another penny. Brian will just do this nice thing. Sometimes I throw stickers into stuff for the same reason. It's just like, you know what?
Exactly.
You guys are awesome. You're like family. We want to pay you back.
I will spend my valuable filament money, my resin money on you people.
Yep. Hard-earned resin money. Damn it.
Hard-earned resin money.
Speaking of which, there is no speaking of which. That's a bad transition. We're done with the show. That's it. We got to play a song to get us out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Tom Merritt will not be here. I think he's still in...
Oh, wow. Really?
Korea. Okay. I could be wrong. He may be
that
back.
That would make sense. I mean, you don't want to go there and just be gone a week. Come on. You got to go there. And
yeah. Because he only left last Wednesday. So my guess is it's another day or two before he's home. But either way, we may have him. We may not. But either way, we're going to do recommendals and all that other stuff. So come on back for a Wednesday edition of the show. In the meantime, Brian probably brought a song to play. What'd you bring?
Oh, dear. This one's going out to Yana Lasko, who says, hey, if you're reading this on the 5th of September...
I am. Mm.
It means that I'm celebrating my birthday today together with the ghosts of Freddie Mercury and John Cage.
Let's party!
That's fun company to have a birthday.
It's a great combo there. While it would be funny to request you to cover 4 minutes and 33 seconds, we actually will put that at the very end of the show. You'll actually get to hear that.
Sure.
Maybe this day needs more funk instead, and by golly, Yana, you brought the funk. Here is Wolfpack. A band that is apparently made up of a bunch of students from the University of Michigan, I found out.
Oh, weird.
They do these great funk songs, and this one happens to be a cover. This is a cover of a song by Maki. It's called Birds of a Feather, We Rock Together.
Oh, very nice. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Be good. We'll see you then.
Birds of a feather, we rock together. And if we got a problem, we talk together. So let's head down south, escape the bad weather. Ooh, 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 ooh. The rain came through my treetop and washed away so many things. Things I couldn't learn till I went through. Things I didn't know till I met you. Now I'm learning the hard way. Of a feather, we rock together. And if we got a problem, we talk together. Oh, and sail down south, escape the bad weather.
I said, oh, ooh, 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 oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, so many things, harder than the breeze on which we once flew, farther from the tree where I met you. So I'm learning the hard way, learning the hard way, learning the hard way to be true. In the hard way. Yay! Birds of a feather, we rock together. Oh, if we got a problem, we talk together. You know we do that song together. Sit down south and escape the bad weather. Ooh, ooh, we run. Birds of a feather, we run together. And we talk together. Hard away.
run together. We run together. If we got a problem when we talk together,
frogpants.com.
Jill!
I couldn't find another one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.